All right, so again, good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. You know, if you know me at all, so if visiting with us, I'm thankful you're here, so you may not know this, but the rest of everybody, you wouldn't be surprised if you heard I ran a 5K yesterday. Now, again, not surprising. It was a gorgeous day. How could I not? But it was a good day for a race. And I've done a lot of different things here lately to try to get a little bit better at these races, try to improve, and a lot of different strategies. But one thing I've been doing here some lately is I'm not listening to music while I run. Now, if you don't run, you don't get it, that's fine. But when I first started running, you know, some people think running's boring. And, okay, so if you plug in some music to your ears and you got that while you're running, hey, it gives your mind something to be occupied with. So you have some music going, and that's great. And for a long time, I did. I ran with music going, and that seemed to help. But here lately, I've not been doing that, and I think I've been better for it. It works for me better. And I really notice it a lot in my races. So, for example, yesterday, you know, a lot of races, you run to a certain point and you run back. So inevitably, along the course, you're going to be, you know, meeting people as you're coming and going. And if you have things plugged in your ears, you may not hear words of encouragement. They might be hollering over at you, hey, way to go, way to go. And I had some of that going yesterday. Even to the point where you get close to the finish line, and there may be people there rooting you on as you're getting ready to finish, i.e. Jennifer there, awesome when she's there for me. Getting up way early to go to that race all the way in Greenville, so I really do appreciate that. But or they might have music playing there at the finish line, or might even these fancy races have an announcer there with their microphone, and they're actually calling out your name. Hey, here comes Tim Partridge, inevitably they say. But yesterday he just said Tim, so I was thankful for that. Hey, here comes Tim, way to go. You know, if I had music going in my ears, I wouldn't hear any of that. So I've really enjoyed hearing the words of encouragement during these races especially. And when I had my ears plugged in, I didn't hear any of that. So it's been really neat. So when you think about the energy that gives you, when you hear those words of encouragement, does that just kind of lift you up? It does for me in those races. You know, what I thought the music was giving me, you know, something to have my mind occupied to give me some, you know, strength and encouragement. It was there all along. I didn't even need the music. I had people running along the course. You know, I've passed people in a race, and I have been passed. And we've actually offered words of encouragement to one another. You know, I passed somebody, and they say, hey, way to go. You know, keep going. You know, it's just, we're all out there for fun anyway. But it's neat to have that encouragement. And that really does lift you up, does it not? So when you think about how many times have we heard the word this morning, just here this morning, have we heard the word encouragement? I've lost count. I had to take my shoes off and start counting. Use some toes. But we've said that a lot here today, and for good reason. There's a lot of people in our family here this morning who are going through some really hard times and going through some struggles. And anything that we can do in words or in actions to offer encouragement, I think that is a vital function of our family here, right? And I think we do a really good job with that. Again, even when we're all just here, you know, the encouragement that we give one another just by being here, that is invaluable. But then to see a smiling face, to get a hug from Gwen, to get some words of encouragement from somebody, or just a pat on the back, whatever it is, that's a big deal. And I think that's something that's vital that we have in our Christian family here and in our spiritual life. So what I'd like to do here this morning is just give you some thoughts about encouragement. So if I had a title for a lesson, that would be it, Thoughts About Encouragement. And again, I've already given you some examples of that. But when you think about sometimes some words of encouragement that you give somebody. You know, what are just some phrases that you hear sometimes? You know, you might hear the, you know, take it one day at a time. You know, don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep it up. You can do it. I'll be there to help you. Or you are in my thoughts and prayers. Take care. With much love. Or, hey, if you got the thumbs going on your phone, there's all sorts of little emoji things that you can put. Lots of smiley faces or whatever it is. You know, we have it that easy. You don't even have to type out words. It's just a symbol that can be an encouragement to somebody. And a lot of times that's all it takes. It doesn't have to be a big, grandiose thing. It can just be something as simple as you reaching out to somebody and showing them that you're thinking of them and that you care. It doesn't take long. But those are just some, again, words or actions that we can take to be an encouragement to somebody. So if you think about how you define encouragement, you know, if you look it up in the dictionary, you know, it talks about inspiring with spirit or energy or hope. Or you fill someone with strength or purpose to help overcome something. Again, as we've talked about here this morning, you know, with Brother Bobby and the encouragement he's going to need in his family during this time. Or many of our other, again, loved ones that have sickness in their family or going through trials in their family, that person and that family needs that encouragement. You know, we all have to deal with it. And again, the strength that we have here with one another is such a blessing that we can help somebody to gain that strength to help overcome something, to lift someone's spirits. I like that one. Because sometimes, you know, even just going through a normal week and to be able to come here and to be able to be around our spiritual family here, is that not lifting our spirits? I mean, it should be. It definitely does for me, especially coming on Wednesday. Wednesday is such a valuable time for me to be able to be here, because a lot of times on Wednesday I'm grumpy because, you know, work just makes me grumpy. And I'm only halfway through the week. I got two more to go. So to be able to come here on Wednesday, right in the middle, and get some encouragement and to help focus on something else, definitely other than what's making me grumpy, that's an encouragement. So I encourage you, you know, take advantage of those Wednesday night opportunities to be here, because I tell you what, it is so valuable to have that. We think about the examples we have in the Bible of encouragement. We have so many. If you just any study of the book of Acts, you can see encouragement after encouragement after encouragement. Whether it's an encouragement of people as Christians are first starting to go out and to teach and to study, bring more to Christ. We see all of these encouragement examples of not only just people, but of churches in general. And again, we see that with Paul in the letters that he writes to many of the churches, full of words of encouragement. And I think that's a great example that we have here, that he is sending all these messages of encouragement to all the ones that maybe he can't be with at that time, but he's sending those words of encouragement to help them through hard times that all of those churches were experiencing as they were just getting started and going through all the persecution that they were going through. So with that in mind, just for a few minutes here this morning, I just want to give you some scriptures to consider, just some thoughts to consider about the encouragement that you can gain not only for yourself, but for others as well. And I think just with a few of the verses that I'm going to share with you this morning, and again, there are so many. We could spend a lot of time going through all the verses of encouragement that we can read about in the scriptures. But I just want to give you a few here this morning just to get you to focus on that and maybe to get you to, again, realize how vital it is for you to be an encouragement for the ones that you're around. again, not only your family, but your friends, your loved ones, people you're around every day. You might not even realize, but you can be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe you're not even trying to be, but you can be just because of the life you're living and the person you are and the attitude that you have. So just, I have a few thoughts about, you know, things that can be an encouragement for yourself and from the scriptures. I apologize, I don't have these on the screen, so you're going to have to get the Bibles out and look at these, or you can listen to my dulcet sounds of my voice as I read these, right? So encouragement for yourself. What, you know, sometimes we can really get down and get discouraged in our life. And what that can do to us is make us lose focus. Can it? It really does. It does to me. It makes us lose focus. And what I like to do, I like to have you think about, again, there's so many verses here, but one verse I have is actually in 1 Timothy 6:11. To get you to focus on, again, certain things, to not lose focus because of discouragement you have in your life. 1 Timothy 6:11, but you, O man of God, flee these things, which before this verse, it's talking about, you know, a lot about people's focus on money and greed and things of this world and the focus that people can have. And we're reading here, flee these things and pursue what? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. You need to pursue these things. Don't let the focus of this world and the things of this world, and a lot of times the struggles of this world, become your focus, because they can. And sometimes that's all you can see. You know, you can't see the forest for the trees because of everything that seems to be an obstacle in your life. It's hard not to focus on that. Don't let the world become your focus. You need to have God and godly things be your focus. How big of an encouragement can that be to yourself if you can keep that in mind? I think it's huge. Focus on these things: righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. You just take those words right there, those actions, and see how far they go. They go a long way. It can help be an encouragement for yourself. Not only focus, but your actions. Your actions can be an encouragement for yourself. 1 Corinthians 16:14. It's a nice short verse, but packs a big punch. Let all that you do be done with love. If you have that attitude, all you do be done with love. What can you say about your actions? Wow. That's a big deal. How big of an encouragement can you have for yourself in your own life? If you have that attitude, let all that I do be done in love. And that's not just actions either. That's thoughts. That's words. That's being an example again. That's your life. Everything about it. To be done with love. If you have that kind of attitude and action in your life, wow. Can you turn around yourself from being discouraged? I think so. This can be a huge encouragement to you if you realize that I need to be doing everything that I do in love. Also, 2 Corinthians 13:11. 2 Corinthians 13:11. As 2 Corinthians is being wrapped up here, the book, and Paul is giving him these final words. And he says, finally, brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. and the God of love and peace will be with you. He's giving these Christians here at Corinth these final words of comfort. He's giving them almost some action points here. To be complete, be of good comfort, be a comfort for one another. Be of one mind and live in peace. If you can have actions in your life that can bring you peace, do you think that can be an encouragement for yourself? Absolutely. I mean, some people do a lot of things to quiet their mind because we all live in a busy world and we're all running 180 mile an hour. That's the way it feels for me sometimes. Sometimes you just need something to bring you peace. And that can be an encouragement. Running's that for me. A lot of times when I run after work because it brings me peace. I can focus on something else to get my mind quieted. And I can do that. Whatever it is for you. A lot of people like to read. That's great. Study. Study your Bible. Hey, that'd be awesome. Talk to somebody. You know, watch TV. Okay, if that works for you, that's great. Whatever it is. But to bring that peace into your mind, to bring that peace into your life, can calm things down. And then bring you encouragement. Whenever you might be suffering with something, with thoughts, or with the concerns that you have in your life. And also, encouragement for yourself is to look for strength. Ephesians 6:10, I'd like you to turn there. Where can we get this strength that I'm speaking of? 1 Corinthians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When we're feeling down, we're feeling discouraged, we need to understand that we can gain strength from the Lord. Go to Him in prayer. Prayer is a mighty powerful thing. And we need to always have that first and foremost in our life, knowing that we have strength in the Lord. When we go on and read the verses after that, putting on that whole armor of God, I think we can realize that, you know, the discouragement that we get a lot of times from this world, a lot of the attacks that we get from this world and people in this world, you know, we talk about that whole armor of God, and it's standing up and resisting the devil and the attacks that he gives to us, and he has always pressing on us. You know, this same armor can help us against the discouragement that we have in this life. It really does. If we can carry all these things and have these things a part of our life, I think is a valuable asset that we have to help us with encouragement in our life. Philippians 4:13. I bet a bunch of you could just read this one out loud. I know Kevin can. But I know a lot of you can. I can do what? Yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, understanding that God and Christ, the strength that we gain from God, from Christ, from being spiritually minded, is a big deal. It's huge, and we need to keep that in mind. Because it is. That should be the focus of our life is our spirituality, our focus on God and on Christ and on Christ-like things. And again, if we can keep our focus on that, keep our actions there, our strength will come from that and help us to overcome that discouragement that sometimes we face in our life. So now I'd like to turn it outward. We've been talking about inward. Let's talk about outward. How can we encourage others? I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. There are so many ways we can encourage others. I've already talked about that earlier in the lesson here this morning. But again, just a few verses to help reinforce those thoughts. You know, we look at Galatians 6. And I'd like to read verses 9 and 10 that says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." When do we have opportunity to do good? All the time, in my mind. We have opportunity to do good all the time. And again, I talked about it earlier here this morning. There's so many little things that you can do in word or in action or in attitude that you may not even realize it, but you're being an encouragement to somebody. Don't go weary doing good. That can be such a powerful tool to help encourage somebody, to be able to do good for them, whatever that might be. Again, a call, handy, text, thoughts, prayers, whatever it is, it's so easy to be able to reach out to somebody and let them know that you're thinking of them, that you're there for them, that you are an encouragement to them. Take advantage of your opportunities to do good because they're all around you. Take advantages to be an encouragement for somebody, because I guarantee you, just about everybody in here needs that. Needs some form of encouragement. And take advantage of that. Be that person. Take advantage of the opportunity to be that person, to be an encouragement for somebody. There's a lot of encouraging actions that we can take as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. If you would turn with me there. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It reads, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Now, when that verse starts out, it says, warn those who are unruly. You know, that sounds pretty stern, but you need to be an encouragement to those who are struggling with being unruly, but might be in error. Or might be struggling with something biblically. Whatever it is, you need to be an encouragement to them, to be able to help them understand what they might be doing is in error, and study with them, whatever it might be. So it's interesting how that verse holds up or starts out, because then it goes into, okay, now you also need to comfort the faint-hearted. You know, a lot of people might be struggling with something spiritually, and that might be leading to the unruly side of what might be going on in their life. And that can possibly make them faint-hearted as well because of the discouragement. They may realize, I need to be doing better. But I don't know what I need to be. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling with what I need to do. And then therefore, become faint-hearted. And when you become faint-hearted, a lot of times the next thing that comes up is, I'm going to give up. You need to be that encouragement for others to say, don't give up. Yeah, you're struggling right now with whatever it might be, but don't give up. Be that comfort for somebody. Be that strength for somebody to not give up, to uphold the weak, and to be patient with all. A lot of times being an encouragement for somebody requires a lot of patience. It really does. And it requires patience with that person, and it requires patience with yourself to be able to stick with it sometimes. Because sometimes at least people I'm around, either at work or in other places, it's a challenge to be an encouragement for that person. And it's easy to lose patience trying to be an encouragement with that person. But we need to be patient and to be able to understand who we are and the effect that we can have on people. And to realize, don't lose heart, don't lose patience. Continue to be an encouragement. Also, one other verse I'd like you to turn to in 1 Thessalonians, which would be 1 Thessalonians 4:18. And I really almost need to read a lot of this particular chapter, but I like how Paul wraps this up when he's talking to the Christians here at Thessalonica about, you know, the heading here in this Bible says the comfort of Christ's coming. And he's talking about how Jesus, you know, is going to come again. We're going to be talking about heaven here in a minute, but giving them this picture of better things to come. And how does he wrap up this particular chapter? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. How much comfort can you give somebody with your words? A lot. We've talked about actions, but words are there as well. And again, I gave you a lot of those here at the first part of the lesson. I'm here for you. I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. Just to be somebody that they can just talk to can be comforting for that person. So to be able to comfort somebody, not only in action, but in word as well, again, I think is so valuable for the people that we're trying to help and for those we're trying to encourage. You know, when we read the scriptures, we see a lot of examples. Again, we could spend a lot of time looking at verses, but some of the ones I'm not going to include, but I'm just taking words from a lot of other scriptures to help give us encouragement. And some of these are also action items to help you move toward being encouraged or being an encouragement for somebody. When we read things in the scriptures that say, pursue godly things, to be wise, to love and rejoice, to be complete, comforted, and like-minded, to live in peace, to see Christ as your strength, to take opportunities to do good, to speak with grace and kindness, to encourage, to help, to be patient, and to show consideration for others. Again, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of money on self-help books and maybe going to seminars or watching stuff on TV or whatever it is. Hey, that's great. And if that helps you, that's great. But you know what? We have the greatest self-help book there is, you know, the Bible. Make sure before you have to think you need to go to all these other sources, which are just books written by people that have their own problems, make sure you're going to the scriptures and see the encouragement that you can get from that. And you can learn not only, again, how to be encouraged, but how to be an encourager and to help encourage others. I hope these thoughts are beneficial for you guys. It seemed to me, you know, with all the things that have been going on here in our family here lately, this was a lesson that I just wanted to give you guys to help you to think about, again, the power of encouragement and what that can mean in our life. You know, what's our ultimate encouragement? You know, we're feeling down, we're feeling sometimes lost in this world. What can be our ultimate encouragement? It's heaven. Can that not be the ultimate encouragement? When you think about heaven and what that is going to be like, to me, if you can focus on that, we talked about focus. That's a huge deal. You know, I've heard, you know, people describe, you know, their loved ones that are about to pass away or have passed away. And whenever they phrase something along the lines of, you know, I'm sad, but my, you know, this person is going home. And to me, That is such a powerful thought to have, you know, when we think about the loss of that loved one and the sadness that it can bring. But to realize they're going home. And, you know, AC, I think his closing song is, "This world is not our home." It's a temporary thing. And yeah, we miss our loved ones and we miss being here. But to have that focus of heaven as our ultimate goal and our ultimate encouragement, wow. That can help encourage ourselves and also help be an encouragement for others. Hebrews 11:16, you know, we read in Hebrews 11 about all those examples that we have of faith, not only from, you know, the Old Testament, but as we read about in the New Testament. And right there in the middle of Hebrews 11 and verse 16, you know, it says, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." We have a place prepared for us. How great of an encouragement is that? How great of an encouragement is that to live for Christ, to be a Christian, to follow the Scriptures, to do what God says we need to do so that we can go to that place prepared for us? That should be all the encouragement you need to be baptized into Christ, to be a Christian, and to live a Christian life. And if you have fallen away, you need to realize what you're living for. It's not this world. This world is just temporary. It's not our home. We need to be living for God, living so that we can spend eternity with him in heaven. There's your encouragement right there, to do the right thing right now. In 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, this will be my last scripture this morning. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is what Lloyd read for us this morning, but I just want to, he started the lesson with that, and I'm going to end it with it. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven." Does that sound like an encouragement to you? It does to me. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." We all have to go through that. But realize, it's just for a little while. It's a temporary thing. "That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith." What are you going to receive at the end of your faith that you've lived your life in? The salvation of your soul. Are you encouraged? Yes, you should be. Live for Christ. Realize that nothing but the blood of Jesus can save your soul. And you need to live for Jesus. Become a Christian if you have not. And if you are a Christian, live a Christian life. And if you've slipped on that path, you need to get back on that path. So whatever your needs are this morning, let us know. Become a Christian today. If you need prayers of the congregation to give you strength to help you get back on that path, now's the time to do it. We're here to help encourage you and give you strength. So whatever your needs are, let us know. Let's stand to sing.